lesson for this morning. Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 15, for if the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Now, we've studied a lot about the Jews in Romans. And you would think, you know, not really that much to be studied about the Jews at Rome. But in that time, there were quite a few Jews there. And as instructed, the gospel was delivered to the Jews first, wherever they might be. And, of course, the Gentiles, I mean, the Romans that were there, many heard and many believed. And God has used the Gentiles to provoke his children, Israel, to want to emulate them, to want that, where they want to have what we have. And what do we have? We have the Lord Jesus Christ. But if God, back in verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, he loved me this much, that he broke off some of the natural branches. But, it says, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. The end of the Gentiles is coming. Now, we'll get to that a little bit later on, but I want you to understand that just as the Jews, as Israel, the limbs were cut off, then we were grafted in. Verse 22, behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Now, God by nature is a loving God. He loved us enough to send his own son to die for us. But he's also a just God. Sin must be punished. And in our stead, he poured out his wrath on his own son on the cross that we might have eternal life. But it says here in verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. Yeah. On them which fell, talking about Israel here, severity. If you look at the Jews down through time, they have been persecuted around the world more than any other nation, any other people. Why? Because they didn't believe the Lord. Because they fell from his grace, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, we can fall from grace in what the world means about falling from grace. If you're a saved person, you're always going to be a saved person. What the Bible talks about when it says falling from grace is mean you're falling from the teaching of grace and understanding that anything good in us comes from the Lord. Anyway, on them that fell, severity. There's going to be a judgment. And this judgment, an earthly judgment, has been going on since that time. But toward thee, goodness. What has God done for us other than give us goodness? He gave us His Son. He blesses us daily in all respects, most especially spiritually. We have the Holy Spirit, a comforter that dwells in us where the world doesn't. If thou continue in His goodness, see, kind of a little bit of a stipulation there, isn't there? If we continue in His goodness, yeah, He's going to continue to bless us. Otherwise, that's the other side of the coin, isn't it? Otherwise, He cut off His own natural people. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. See, we're not better than them. We're not better than them. He cut off His natural, earthly chosen people that we might be grafted on. If we follow after them, we're going to be cut off. Not meaning us, His children, but the world, meaning the Gentiles. Verse 23, and they also... Who's they? This is those that have been cut off, or Israel. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, if they repent. What do we try to teach people about the gospel? Repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. How can a person come before God when you don't know the Lord? It has to come in repentance. That has to be first. Repentance and faith. If they abide still in unbelief, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in. Whoa, they were cut off, right? God is God. He can't graft them back in. For God is able to graft them in again. Now this has nothing to do with the false teaching of being lost and saved and lost and saved and lost and saved. Nothing at all to do with that. This is talking about the people of Israel and also the people of the world. You know, where He warned us in the previous verse. Thou also shall be cut off. But He's able to graft them in again. Verse 24, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, well, we were wild. Some of us more wild than others. I'm not going to name any names, am I? Maybe not. We were cut out of an olive tree which is wild by nature. What's our nature? Our nature is to serve sin, isn't it? Praise the Lord, He gives us a new nature. And we're grafted contrary to nature, contrary to our nature, into the good olive tree. You know, the one where He cut out His own people. He chopped them off. That we might be grafted in. How much more shall these, talking about His own children, the nation of Israel, which be the natural branches, the ones that were cut out before, be grafted into their own olive tree? You know, according to Scripture, you know, we're I won't say we were an afterthought or anything like that, but God's purpose was to use us from the beginning to provoke his children to emulation, to want to have what we have with the Lord, a closeness that we have. Israel, as a nation, for the most part, is lost. You know, a lot of them go through the things that they're supposed to do according to the law, but they don't know the Lord. God told them, I'm going to send a Messiah. And they didn't believe. And because of their unbelief, they were cut out. Cut out of the good olive tree that we might be grafted in. Us old rotten wild olives, we were grafted in. But it says, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree, their very own olive tree that was made through them. Verse 25, for I would not, brethren, I don't want this to happen, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Now, I don't know, I believe that this is one of the reasons that we kind of hold to the fact that, you know, you need to be in God's house whenever the doors are open, if it's at all possible. But where are you going to learn and not be ignorant? Now, you can study at home. But you know what? You're going to learn more here than you are at home. We need to live in God's Word. We need to study constantly. And when the pastor gets up here and he's preaching, sometimes a little switch gets flipped and you say, oh, I know what that means. He says, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. It's a mystery, all right. Why in the world would the Lord want to save me? And we ask these foolish questions sometimes, and they just lead to more questions. And the answer to that question, why would the Lord want to save me, is because it pleased him to do so. Not because of any good in me, because I didn't have any good. And that begs another question, and then another question, and another question, and you get back around to why would the Lord want to save me? Kind of a circular thing. It keeps going around and around. And some of these things we're not going to know while we're here. Those that claim to know everything, I believe they probably know very little, just to be honest about it. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. You ever notice know somebody that knows everything? I mean, not me, because, you know, I know a lot of things. But anyway, you're wise in your own conceits. And I don't know why the politicians don't come to me. I don't know why where can we find wisdom and knowledge? In God's Word. Where are we going to hear God's Word? Here. Brother Hanson, I think he's been thinking about moving up here so he can hear more of the Lord's Word here and be instructed in the wisdom of God. But be not wise in your own conceits. What does the Bible say about our wisdom? It says the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. As smart as I am, I don't come close. I know a lot of things, yeah. Only problem is a lot of those things ain't necessarily true. And we have a lot of politicians nowadays that know a lot of untrue things. And it goes on that blindness in part has happened to Israel. God has not given them a clear vision as he has given us in this present day. They see a little. And how can we know that? Because I think it's in verse 5, I'm not going to turn back, where it says that there is a remnant. Even in Israel, there is a remnant. So not all are blinded. But it says that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Not everyone. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. The day of the Gentiles. This is what I was talking about earlier. There's coming a time when the day of the Gentiles will be over. Now, does that mean that there's not going to be any more Gentiles saved? I don't know. I don't think that's what it means. I think he's going to be with us as he was with Israel, that there's going to be a remnant. But that's my opinion. I don't have scripture to cover that, to prove that. So I'm going to put it out there as my opinion. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. Now, does that mean that every last one of Israel shall be saved? Well, it's kind of pointing that way. I think at the very least it's going to be the vast majority where a person would say that all Israel was saved, except maybe a few, which were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. How are Jews saved and how are Gentiles saved? We're saved the same way. We need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Now, when it's talking about Israel here, it's not talking about the spiritual Israel. There are two Israels. And people, sometimes they scratch their head about that. In chapter 9 of Romans. And verse 6. It says, not as though the word of God has taken none effect. This is why not all are going to be saved. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So, the Israel that he's talking about here is the spiritual Israel, which would include us and the Jews. But it says not all Israel are going to be of Israel. Also, it says in the last part of verse 26 here, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Okay, this is how I know that he's talking about the nation of Israel. What is Jacob's name that God gave him? Israel. Who are the people of his lineage? Israel. The nation of Israel. And there's coming a time. This is what it was talking about when all these Jews are going to be saved in that day. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Now, this is his covenant with them. Now, what is a covenant? A covenant basically is a promise. And I don't know how many times I've said it, but God keeps his promises. You know, a promise from Steve is a definite maybe, you know. But a promise from God is eternal and sure. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. The nation of Israel is going to be saved. And I've heard a nation in a day, and maybe that's so. I think it's going to be a very short period of time. It might not be just a day. I'm not sure. But it's going to be a very short period of time where from the time that Christ came into the world until now has been, you might call it a good while. But this time, it's going to be a very short time, very short period of time. In verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. That's now. And from the time of Christ forward, enemies of God, until God gives them the grace that they need to understand. Anyway, but as touching the election, this is God's election. It's not like we have an election. You know, you go in there and 13 people vote for this guy and 10 people vote for that guy, and the guy with 10 votes wins. That's not the kind of election this is talking about. This is talking about God's election. He has a chosen people, just a spiritually chosen people, just as he has a chosen physical people. Before the world began, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because he chose to. We're getting in that circular motion again. We don't want to go there again, do we? It pleased God to bruise his son for me. And I can't get my head wrapped around that, no matter how hard I try. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Because they wouldn't believe, because of their unbelief, you get the blessing. We get the blessing. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. The time is coming. The day of the Gentiles will be over. The day of the Jews is going to come. And there's going to be a number that no man can figure out. You know, how many are going to be saved? For the gifts and calling of God are without recompense. Now, this verse here gets misconstrued a lot. It says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And this is not talking about man's repentance. This is talking about God. The gifts that he has given us, the calling that he has given us, he will never change his mind. I'm a child of God. I will always be a child of God. I'll go back to another thing I've said before. I was never a goat. I wasn't a goat that somehow miraculously became a sheep. I was always a sheep. Before the Lord saved me, I was a lost sheep. But I was a sheep. And God will not change his mind. I'm his. And I always will be. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Well, I go back again. You know, were we any better than them? No. In time past, have not believed God. How long? I don't know how long any of y'all were before you got saved. But some people aren't saved till on their deathbed. Now, I wouldn't count on a deathbed conversion, you know, because it happens. Look at the thief on the cross. He never knew Jesus until that very time when they were on the cross together. And what did he say? He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "This day you're going to be with me in paradise." And we received this, and now retain mercy through their unbelief. Again, you know, this talking about the grafting in. We didn't deserve it. Verse 31, "Even so have these now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." Now, when we read about the Great Commission, we're to go into all the world. In other places, it says to the Jew first. We need to understand who God's people are. Again, God's earthly chosen people and God's spiritually chosen people. We're going to receive a blessing because they forfeited it. They didn't believe God. And because of that, we have obtained mercy. Verse 31, "Even so have these also now not believed." It's still going on from that time forward to this time, "that through your mercy they may obtain mercy." I have heard Jews called, some pretty radical things. I've heard people call them Christ killers. And I'm not going to go into any others, but we think, I wouldn't have done that. If I was there in Jesus, I saw all the miracles. I saw the devils being cast out. I saw people brought back from the dead. I would not have done that. Baloney. We would have done it just like them. Verse 32, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief," just like them. Anyway, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Now, all. Who's all? All his children. All his elect. All those that he has chosen. All those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have his mercy. And the others are going to have his judgment. Verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." We can't even begin to understand God's purpose in all this. Again, I come back, you know, because it pleased him to do it. That was his pleasure to do it. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." This is why I can know that if somebody says they completely understand the Bible, I know they're a liar. As long as we are here on this earth and we have sin in our life, which we're going to have until we go to be with him, we will never understand the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How searchable, unsearchable are his judgments. When God judges, he judges perfectly. Everything he does is perfect. And his ways past finding out. As long as we're here, like I said, we're not going to understand. Not everything. I know one thing. He loved me. I'll do another one of my favorite sayings. I believe that God loves me so much that if I was the only one, that Christ would have still come and died on the cross for me. That's how much I believe God loves me. How much do I love him? Not nearly as much as I should. Verse 34, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Now some people are so presumptuous, they'll say, well, what the Lord means is, and they'll try to change his word to cover what they want to be, what they want to believe. And the Jews were like this, and still are. There's coming a time when that's not going to be. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? I don't. And who hath been his counselor? Now, there are people nowadays that believe that the Lord made a mistake when he made the earth round. Because they say, well, it's flat. And they can prove it by, they can prove it according to them. Now, God doesn't need our counseling. But we sure enough need his. Again, where do you get counseling? Here. And you get it in God's word. Just because you're not here, that doesn't mean that you can't be in God's word. Again, you know, we need to live in God's word. Verse 35, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. What did we give the Lord other than heartache? Can you imagine how God's perfect creation, we turned it into a cesspool? But he did all this. He made all these things. The Lord said, let there be, and there was, for us, when he knew what was going to happen. He knew we were going to turn away from him. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles. Every one of us were going to turn away from him. Can we pay the Lord back? No. The debt we owe is far too great. And there was a song we sing says that we need to give ourselves away. That's all we can do. We need to be his. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Okay. For of him, he created it all. And through him, Who else was there going to be? Who could say, you could ask somebody, create me a grain of sand. And what would they do? They would reach down on the ground and say, no, I said, create. Stick your hand out there and you make a grain of sand happen right there. And they'll stand there and look dumb if they actually think they can do it. Through him and to him, we are to be his people, not just in word. We are to be his people in everything we do. And it says, are all things to whom be glory forever. Amen. God, there's coming a time. We can't see his glory now. Now, Jacob saw God face to face. Only person I know of in the Bible. I wasn't going to turn there. Turn to Genesis 32. I have a few extra moments this morning, which is unusual. And we're going to start reading in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, does the Lord need us to tell him our name? No. He knew who he was. I think he knew what he was, too. He was a sinner. Verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You ever lay down on your face and pray to the Lord all night? I don't know if this wrestling match here was all night, if it was really a wrestling match or what the deal was, but he wrestled with God. Verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? You know who I am. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He knew that if he saw God in all of his glory, he couldn't live. But he saw God face to face. That's scripture. Also, we were talking about Israel, and earlier on, I should have turned here if I was going to turn here, which I wasn't going to turn here, but I turned here, how Jacob was given the name Israel by God. Not by mom and dad. My mom and dad named me Stephen. You know, the real S-T-E-V-E-N, Stephen. Anyway, verse 36 again, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. It's all to glorify God. The things that we have, the things that he placed in our care, we think we own them, but there he is. He's placed them in our care. We are to use them for his honor and his glory. Anyway, We're going to go ahead and stop there. I was going to do a few verses in chapter 12, but I think now is a good time to stop. And hopefully, Lord willing, next Sunday we'll start in chapter 12. Been here 2 Sundays in a row. Is that a record or what? Praise the Lord. I think Brother Hanson must have done something to me the other night. You know, or my back is feeling better or something like that, or at least not as bad. Anyway, Roger, your back going okay?
Better it was.
Okay, well, there you go. We're getting ready for the revival meeting. Hopefully the revival's already started. I know I spent more time this week in God's Word than I normally do. So we're just going to bless His Word. Anyway, y'all stick around for about 5 minutes. Well, after 5 minutes, too, the pastor's going to have a great message.